He's talking about how much he loves Putin and these authoritarian assholes, right? So he's talking about that. And then he mentions Obama, and all of a sudden he's like, now I'm going on a tear on Mrs. Obama. But
I mean, just it shows where his mind is at. Like, he can't keep one coherent thought. And he's never been the most eloquent speaker. But if you look at videos of him in 2016 and compare it to now, it just goes to show the cognitive decline there. But I think that, yeah, the praising of the dictators is so alarming. And, you know, I want a leader who stands with our allies, not bends a knee to our enemies. And that's what it seems like Trump would do in a second term with no guardrails. And then also just another example of the way he talks about women, you know, calling Michelle Obama a nasty woman. It just, he does not care about women or earning their votes. Their whole strategy has been doubling down on young men and trying to get them to turn out. And it just another example of why women shouldn't be supporting Donald Trump, because that's the way he talks about them.
Olivia.
Yeah, well, and the thing is here, when you're looking at Kamala Harris, when you're looking at Michelle Obama, you're looking at all these people that are calling him out, they're operating on facts. They're just factually talking about who Donald Trump is, because they're quoting him at times, they're showing what he is, they're talking about him. He doesn't hide who he is, right? I mean, that's the
No,
thing. He tells us
that's
everything
not.
he's going to do. That's the one thing. Like, he tells us ahead of time, and then he goes and does it. Or, you know, or he lauds these dictators and then aligns with them. So, and then he has conversations with them ongoing, apparently, from what we've, you know, that's been reported. So, and then I'm thinking about this and I'm hearing him and I'm like, you just held a rally for several hours, the speakers, every person that spoke had some vile, nasty, horrible thing to say. I mean, it was one of the most vile things I've ever seen, to hear the comments that were coming out of these people's mouths. And, like, you know, he can deny the comedian. Well, yeah, are you going to deny Stephen Miller, who did a lot of policy for you, and he's like America's only for Americans? I mean, let's think about all the things that came out of these people's mouths throughout the night, right? I mean, that was his closing argument, was basically, everyone who is against me sucks. Everyone, I mean, who is anyone that is not a far right white person sucks, basically, for some of these speakers. That's what they were saying, right? And I mean, it was just, and it was sort of laying out what does policy look like under another Trump administration, because
Well,
we certainly saw the first round of it, right? I mean, that was horrifying.
we get a little bit. I mean, we get a lot of what the policy will look like from Project 2025, which I don't want people to forget about. It should
Yes.
be pinned to your forehead as you go into the ballot box as well, to think about what the federal government's response to your problems will look like under a second Trump term. But here's the thing I want to get both of you before I let you guys get out of here, because we started a little late and I've held you a little bit longer and I do apologize. But I love talking to both of you. I'm so proud of both of you and so excited for what you represent for a Republican Party that I've been a member of since 1976. And it's important for me to know that generationally, there's going to be the two of you on that front line to reimagine a party for your generation. So that's exciting for me. And I'm really, really happy for that. But what I'm still a little bit disturbed by are the bullshitters that are out there. And this week we've seen one of the biggest and most profoundly pieces of bullshit come from the Washington Post. The Washington Post is a perennial newspaper. It is an important voice in not just the community where I grew up here in Washington, D.C., but globally. And the journalists who work there, from everyone like our friend Jonathan Capehart, to Eugene Robinson, And just the grinders, the men and women who are on the beat, they represent a high level of journalistic integrity in the framing of, Woodward, and Bernstein. And for the owner, because of his Blue Origin's interests, his government contracts, his find other financial interests that could be impacted by a second Trump term, decided to kill the impending endorsement of Kamala Harris. After 9 years of coverage of Donald Trump, 9 years of calling out the threat that he is, after changing its masthead to read "Democracy dies in darkness," and to have the owner of the Washington Post turn out the lights on that democracy by pulling that endorsement, to me, was highly offensive. I wanted to get your thoughts on that in light of the work that you've been out here doing. Right? You're out here sweating the details with voters and framing and contextualizing the difference between these two candidates running to be the next president of the United States. And to have the LA Times, the Washington Post, and now I understand USA Today, these major journals of storytelling, fact relate, relating facts to us, say, you know what, we're just gonna take a pass because we don't want to piss Donald Trump off. We don't know. We don't want him coming after us. Well, let me tell you, bitch, he's coming after you anyway. He just is. Are you that damn stupid after 9 years of watching his ass do what he's done and punk all the political people, all the journalists, everybody anyway? He's coming for you. So you don't have a window which you can just stray and all of a sudden find your voice and say something. You've now effectively shut it down. What are your thoughts? Because I get fired up on this, and I try not to be, but anyway.
I will say, I think most of these national outlets, the endorsements aren't going to move sizable amounts of voters. They're not looking to the Washington Post or the New York Times to tell them. But I do think, and I think there's so much more, it's so much more important for our local newspapers to make those endorsements, and people will listen to their local news more, and that they can make the case for why for their community, a Kamala Harris candidacy would be better, for example. But I found it just really cowardly, just the timing of it all. It was just,
The
the timing
timing. Yeah.
because
That's exactly it.
Because it's like, sure, these endorsements from these national outlets aren't gonna maybe move the needle, but it's the timing of it that it just felt very cowardly.
I was pissed. I'm like, my ass is out here getting death threats every day. My family's been put through the ringer. I'm watching other people be put through the ringer. And out of all the timing, you decided that now is a moment where you're like, hey, we're going to be nonpartisan because we're a newspaper. After you've done all these endorsements for how long? For how many years?
But
But
here
right now, you've
they endorse
decided.
his they endorse his opponent in 20 and 16. And so I give you 16, and then okay, but by 2020 you knew who Donald Trump was. You knew the threat that he was. And Jeff Bezos himself was like, in 2016 he was like, yeah, of course we're going to endorse. Why not? This is an important thing for us to do. And in 2024 it's like,
And the biggest election of our lifetime right now with what we're up against, and that is what this is the moment when they decided. And I agree with Sarah. They're cowards. They're cowards, and these are, look, call it out. These are very wealthy people who are putting their own personal wealth and profits over the greater good of our country. And so, I'm angry. I'm pissed off at that because I'm like, one, you're giving in to him. That's what he wants. And that is how democracy dies, by the way. because you're giving in to what fascism and authoritarianism looks like, and that's what they want you to do. And you're right, he's still going to go after them. You're gonna publish one thing about him, and you think that they're not on the list? Are you kidding
Of
me?
course, of course they are. Look, the man is talking about shutting down CNN, MSNBC, the CBS. You don't think the Washington Post is on that list, particularly given how he's already gone after the Washington Post anyway? All right. I just
Wild.
it just drives me nuts. Sarah Matthews, Olivia Troy, you both have been patient and kind with your time. I am very grateful for the conversation. But more importantly, for your leadership, showing a lot of folks, the light is this way. Come on, y'all, the light is this way. Let's go. And it, with the 6 or so days that are left in this campaign, just really be safe, be well. I know you both are out there on the ground across the country, getting folks engaged, getting them to vote, and to exercise the franchise that's been given to them by founders, and not wasting it. And so thank you for that. We will definitely be praying for good things on next Tuesday, but we also know it may take a little while. So folks, just chill your jets. Don't get stupid. Don't be an asshole about, oh, I don't know who's winning the election. It takes time. Florida will get theirs in very quickly. Pennsylvania may not. Arizona may not. California, God bless California, it could be weeks. But still, right? There is a process. Our ballot boxes are secure. And the SOBs who are trying to set ballot box drop boxes on fire, your ass is on a lot of lists. So just know we see you. But folks, get out and vote. Don't be intimidated. Don't let those 200,000 poll watchers, quotation marks, of the RNC intimidate you. If any of those mofos get up in your face, don't get ugly. Don't get mad. Just raise your hand and get an election official or local authorities to tell those sons of bitches to step back.